is more and more confusing. Christmas has many joys. Christmas has quite a few sadnesses and downsides as well, I think. And the more I think about the joys, the more joys I can think about. And the more sadnesses I think about, the more I understand how things can be a bit difficult at times. Some joys, for example, of Christmas time. Isn't it wonderful to see the deep pleasure of children waiting for and receiving presents? I'm really willing to confess this now. I've never said it before, but whenever I come to church on Christmas Day, I spend my time looking down the streets looking for new presents. A kid on a bike, someone with inline skates that they've just got, a youngster with a cricket bat and ball, whatever it happens to be. I just really enjoy people with their new presents. You can see something shiny and hopefully it won't break by the end of the day. But there's joys like that. That's the only joy of Christmas, of course. In general, gift giving and gift receiving is just a pleasant thing, whether it's for kids, for adults, for friends, for neighbours, planned gifts, unexpected generosity from people. We had someone drop over last night and give us a present. I didn't expect it all. It's just part of the fun of Christmas and part of the memories of Christmas. Also at Christmas time, you just have the feel, in Australia anyway, that you're at the end of the year and a rest is coming. There is a break. You can take a step back from the demands. The demands ease off, and for a little while, you don't need to set the alarm. And you can just enjoy. Perhaps you even look forward to the cricket, or your own particular end-of-year thing. Perhaps yours is the Sydney to Hobart yacht race, or I don't know what it happens to be for you, but there's a break, and there's a time to relax. Maybe a holiday, maybe getting away, maybe to the coast, whatever it is. And, of course, as is very important at Christmas time, good food. Good food. I did a few shifts at the supermarket this week, and I can tell you, they were moving a lot of food. It was moving almost by itself, I think. So there's some of the fantastic good things, which I hope you get to enjoy this Christmas and this day. But there are some downsides too, of course. Some negatives, some experiences that stay with people, or that they experience just by themselves, alone, that are negative. People find sometimes financial pressures mount up and mount up at Christmas time. All the bills of the year or all the bills of Christmas and New Year itself get people down and make people worried. Also at Christmas time, it's famous, and people are understanding this better and better, Christmas can sometimes bring out the relationship stresses that lie below the surface in people's workplace or family or neighbourhood, whatever it happens to be. Sometimes too, it's just memories that come back to remind us of Christmas. People we've regretted saying something to, and we're spending time with them, or perhaps we're cut off from them. Or memories of people who we'd like to be with, people who are lost or people who are away. There are things at Christmas time that pull at the heartstrings and sometimes bring a tear. Sometimes we have to experience those things alone as well. Or at other times we do share the downsides of Christmas. Christmas is all sorts of things. There are all sorts of experiences, even in this room, let alone the whole of Albury, Wodonga, around Australia and around the world. What I wish for you is a wonderful and joyous Christmas. But I don't presume to know what your 2022 experience is like right now. If you would like to share that, it would be a privilege to hear. If you want to share happiness, that's great. If you need to share something that's a little bit distant from happiness, then that would be equally good. But whatever your experience of Christmas is, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. And I'd like to hear from you and to share my experience too. One thing we can say at Christmas is that Jesus is the heart of things. And Jesus is the one we wish to talk about. So, as I said, I don't know what your experience of Christmas is at the moment, but Jesus Christ is the one who is at the centre. And I want to think about him just briefly today, a shorter talk than we might normally do, but it's from that reading that's in the bulletin there from John chapter 5, thinking about two things to do with Jesus. Two things to do with Jesus. And as those of you who know me might recognise, the two things have the same name. Okay. So I've got two aspects of Jesus, but I've called them the same thing. They're both about Jesus, the Son, and the Father. Two things about Jesus, and they both are about the Son and the Father. And if you didn't know that I was going to do that, it shows that you haven't been subjected to my terrible sense of humor for a while yet. Oops, I need my notes, don't I? Well, side one about Jesus, and about Jesus, particularly thinking about the Son and the Father, we see that there in verse 19 of that reading from John chapter 5. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of Man can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." What can we say about Jesus here as the Son? To put it really in just a couple of words, Jesus is the perfect human. Jesus is the perfect human. He's the Son who does exactly what the Father wants. He's the Son who imitates the Father and does what the family does. Jesus is the man who perfectly and exactly did what the Father desired. There are billions of humans on the earth now, and think of how many there have been through history. Every single one of us, except Jesus, every single one of us apart from Jesus, has fallen short of the Father's will, has fallen short of what God wants from a human being. In this year and last year and in this century and last century and this millennium and in last millennium and in as many years as this world goes on, humans, sadly, fall short. But there is one man who lived right and perfectly and obediently and faithfully, and it's Jesus. The one who says, "I can only do what the Father has shown me. I can only do what the Father has said. I can only do what the Father commands." It was like water running down a channel. It could only go the one way, and that way was perfection and goodness. At Christmas, we can say that Jesus is the perfect gift because he's the perfect human. He's the perfect human being. He's the wonderful human being, the one who did what God the Father wanted. And Jesus did what you should do before God. Jesus did what I should do before God. And if you've got someone you want to criticize in your neighborhood, well, Jesus did what they should do as well. To keep pointing at yourself. I need to keep pointing at myself. I've failed, fallen short, not lived up to even the few things I do know. But Jesus did what I should do, what you should do, what all of us should do before God. Now, we're all alive. We're all hopefully enjoying today. And that life and that enjoyment comes by the kindness of God. Because of our failings, let me use an illustration perhaps that's applicable to Christmas morning. Do you ever get a present given to you and it looks exciting, it looks fantastic, but then you open the box and what's those famous words on there? Batteries not included. You know, it's a fantastic, it looks good, it looks, it's just, but the power is missing. In a way, that's a picture of what I'm like as a human, what every human is like. Made by God, loved by God, know the kindness of God in various ways, but there's just some power missing in our lives. The power of doing exactly what the Father wanted. But Jesus is a contrast to that. He's the Son of the Father. He's the Son of the Father. He's the gift with full power, with the batteries working, who did exactly what the Father wanted. What I lack and what you lack too, Jesus has done on our behalf. And so Jesus at Christmas is a present. Because it's like, it reminds us, he says, "My life," Jesus says, "is a gift to you." The obedience that Jesus lived, he willingly gives to those who trust him. It's an interesting, perhaps an unusual thought. But who gets the credit for all the good things that Jesus did? All the obedience that Jesus lived out, all the adherence to the Father's will. Who gets the credit for all that Jesus achieved? Jesus walks up to all of us and says, I'll give that credit to you. Simply trust me, and I'll transfer to you my goodness, my obedience, my sonship. He's the human being who is the perfect human being, and he wants everyone to benefit from what he's done. That's what I think of when I think of Christmas gifts, that Jesus' life itself is the wonderful gift. It's the perfect gift because it's a gift that is perfect. In fact, it's the gift of perfection. That's why Jesus, as a human being who's obedient, is such an important part of Christianity, such an important part of Christmas, such an important part of everything in the whole Bible. Jesus gives to us, by his own achievement, what we could not achieve in our failings, in our falling short. You could say that Jesus' perfection becomes our perfection. The Son of the Father makes others to be true children of God. He's the perfect Son of the Father, and because of that, you can be a son of the Father, a daughter of the Father, a child of God. That's the first aspect of Jesus, the gift at Christmas time. And it's a wonderful thing. It's the first aspect of Jesus being the Son of the Father. Side two about Jesus being the Son of the Father is also in our reading. Just a few of the verses, let me read. 25 and 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, said Jesus, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. We're still thinking about Jesus as the Son of the Father. The first part was about Jesus, the Son of the Father, the perfect human, the perfectly obedient human. But this one's a little bit different. Now we're thinking about Jesus as the Son who does what God does. Jesus is the Son who does what God the Father does. The Father has life in himself. He's the giver of life. He's the creator of all things. That makes sense. The Father has life in himself. And Jesus says, guess what? The Son has life in himself. Jesus is claiming about his own power that I have the power to give life. The Father is the one who raises the dead from the grave, gives life to the lifeless, gives hope to the hopeless. Jesus points out the Father does those things, and Jesus points to himself and says, the Son gives life, raises people from the dead. The Son who has life in himself, the Son who raises from the dead, and we could go on in the passage, the Son judges people and is the final. The Son is the one who does exactly what the Father does. Part one, the Son obeys the Father. He's the human who is 100%. But part two, Jesus represents God by doing everything of God. Just as Jesus is the perfect man, Jesus is also fully God. The type of things Jesus does and claims to do all through this passage are only things that God can do. If I ever start claiming to have life in myself, then make sure I get the help I need. It's beyond me. If I ever start going down to the cemetery and claiming to raise the dead, then please come and help me, because I can't do that. But Jesus is saying, I can do that. I raise the dead to life. I judge the living and the dead, says Jesus. I have life in myself, said Jesus. So just as Jesus is the perfect man, so he is also, he says, the perfect God. He is the man who is God. You could say that Jesus, as a human being, is the perfect human who brings us to the Father. But you could also say, Jesus, as the perfect Son, is the God who brings the Father to us. Jesus brings us in our imperfection to the Father. And Jesus in his divinity brings God the Father to us, so we can truly call God our own Father. Maybe for the first time today, maybe we've been doing it all our lives, but in whatever way we call God our Father, it's in the power of Jesus, not in the power of ourselves. Two great things about Jesus that I just wanted to highlight on this Christmas day. He's the perfect man. He's the perfect God. He offers his perfection to you, to me, to all of us. And he has the divine power, the second thing. He is the divine power that has authority to give life, to give forgiveness, to give hope, to give confidence, to give a judgment of not guilty to you and to me. I reckon we get to explore the greatness of Jesus for all eternity. I think that's what heaven is. Heaven isn't a place on clouds and playing harps. I think life after death is where we continue to enjoy the infinity of God, the greatness of God, and the wonder of Jesus. So we've got a lot of time to do that, so we don't need to complete it all today. You'll be glad to know. But I want to finish today, keeping it shorter, but finish today with one suggestion for the way we can enjoy something of the goodness of Jesus, the bigness of Jesus, the magnitude and wonder of Jesus. I want to suggest one thing we can do as we go away into Christmas Day and into 2023, God willing. We're going to enjoy the Christmas gift of Jesus Christ. How may we do that? Well, there's plenty in John chapter 5, you may have noticed. Plenty in John chapter 5 about the authority of Jesus' words. That little phrase that came up even a few times in our readings. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said. Truly, truly, I say to you. That's the word, the introduction of someone who claims to speak with all authority when Jesus says that sort of thing. There's lots in this passage about Jesus' words and speech. The speech of Jesus is powerful. The speech of Jesus is true. The speech of Jesus is effective. He says something and it happens. Lots here about the word of Jesus, the word of Christ. Jesus' words succeed when all too often our words don't succeed as human beings. But Jesus' word gives faith. Jesus' word gives life. Jesus' word gives forgiveness. Jesus' word is powerful. Jesus' speech raises the dead and gives people eternal life. Therefore, wise people will have a plan, I believe, will have a plan and actions to hear this word of Jesus. That's my suggestion. To be a wise person who has a plan and an action, a set of actions, to hear the word of Jesus more regularly, more fully, more often, perhaps, whatever it is. My suggestion is precisely this. Be one of these men or women who is into the word of Jesus. Be a man or woman who listens to, engages with, is captured by the word of Jesus. Who knows that when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, that's time to pay attention, to switch the ears on and to take it to heart. Let's be the men and women who are also and always into the word of God. Be a Bible person. Make it so in your solo life, perhaps, or in your family life, or in whatever sort of context you happen to be. Make it characteristic of what our church is like. If our church stops being a church of the word of Jesus, then we're missing the point, really. We should be those who listen to the word of God. I'm going to try and pick the tone of John 5 to finish off the talk today. Though this is me speaking, okay? I'm not making any claims about myself. But I'm just sort of playing with the ideas of John 5. Here we go. Truly, truly, I say to you, that whoever plans to put into place ways to engage with the word of Jesus, they will never waste their time. Happy Christmas to you and joyful celebrations. Have a word-filled life and may that apply to all of us. And I think it's appropriate that we finish, that we respond, I should say, with a prayer time. So our prayer time is now after the talk, and it's my privilege to lead in prayer today, as we ask God to help us to be those who enjoy the gift of Jesus, the perfect man, enjoy the gift of Jesus, the man who is God. Let's pray. I invite you to pray with me as we pray together. Dear Father, we do thank you and give you praise at first in our prayer time now. We give you thanks that Jesus is the perfect Son of God. We thank you that Jesus is the man who lived perfectly and who donates the credit of that perfection to any who trust him. And we thank you that Jesus, the Son of God, is God the Son, with all authority in his word. We thank you for the wonderful gift of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate all year round as well. And we thank you that God the Son, his word gives eternal life and gives freedom from judgment to all who trust. No matter what we've done or who we are, Jesus' word succeeds. But as we pray with these good things and give thanks at Christmas, we also remember those whom we know who are amongst us, those who are further afield even, who are having a difficult time this Christmas, maybe remembering things that are sad, maybe things aren't going as well as they'd like, maybe they're physically unwell at the moment. There are all sorts of reasons that people are going through a tough time today or in this week or so, and we pray that they will know your presence and comfort and healing and help. And we ask, Lord, that as we move towards 2023, that the next year that you give us and any day that you give us will be a day full of your guidance and your grace, your help, and your presence as our Father in heaven. We do thank you that you are with us now. We thank you that Jesus came into this world, and we thank you that the power of that entry into the world is a power that changes us still, and we do commit ourselves to you. Ask that you will help us to accept the gift of Jesus more and more every day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us today. The way we're going to finish is this. I've got a verse to finish with. And we're going to finish by speaking to one another. Our last words in the formal service are singing. So I just got one verse I want to highlight from John chapter 1 that reminds us about Christmas. And then I'm going to invite everyone here to stand and be part of our final song, and we'll finish the formal part of ourselves in a wonderful way. But this reminder from John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.